Let us begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to thank you all for being here to listen to the Word of God here at the Chapel of the Transfiguration. Through the Gospel of John, you're going to hear the Word today from a Native American perspective. I'm so happy to be here and to share with you my time with you. But first, I just want to introduce myself quickly. I'm enrolled Eastern Shoshone on my mother's side here in Wyoming and on the Wind River Reservation. I'm also part of the Seneca Nation of Indians in New York from the Allegheny Reservation on my father's side, and how they met in between in South Dakota. It'd be neat to make that occasional trip back home whenever we can afford to go that far. But I am blessed to be a part of both tribes. My husband, Aaron, my adult children, and 4 out of 5 of my grandkids are all enrolled Northern Arapaho tribal members. And my first grandson and myself are the only ones enrolled in the Eastern Shoshone tribe in our family. 5 years ago, I made history in the Episcopal Church by becoming the first Native American woman to be ordained in the state of Wyoming. And I'm very happy to be currently mentoring other Natives who are attending the Iona Collaborative at the Seminary of the Southwest. It is my hope that I can lead more to become ordained priests or deacons, because I need the help. We cover the whole reservation, and I'm the only priest right now, and I'm very busy. This is the last week of 5 in which we hear about Jesus as the bread of life. Jesus has been telling the people this meal he offers them doesn't come from the fields or the sea, but from his own body. And Jesus says to them that those who eat his flesh and drink his blood will abide in him and them, and he will abide in them. And that whoever does this will live forever. And the crowd, now referred to as disciples, say to themselves, "This teaching is so difficult. It is hard. Who can accept it?" The Greek translation of the word difficult means hard, like banging your head against the wall, difficult. You can't understand it. They're saying, "This is craziness. This is insane, what you're saying. This doesn't make any sense." But Jesus doesn't slow down. He doesn't make it softer. He doesn't explain any of it. Jesus ramps the sermon up a bit. He's saying, "Oh, I'm sorry. Does this offend you? Well, if this offends you, what if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. But among you, there are some who don't believe. I have to ask, does anyone understand what Jesus is talking about?" These followers don't. And so, not surprisingly, they leave. The followers who walk off are much like us today when things start to lose their meaning or you don't really feel like you understand. It's pretty tempting to just leave, isn't it? And as I think about the church in today's culture, I think we church people often speak in a language people don't understand. For many people, even the Native American people, who often pray in the sweat lodge, in the Sundance, peyote meetings, church just doesn't seem to make any difference. And in light of all the other things going on in our culture and world that do impact people's lives, many today wonder why they should continue to go to church. So they quit. When we look again at today's gospel reading, notice what Jesus does when the people leave. He does nothing. He doesn't do anything. Why? Why not just try to make it easier to understand? Why doesn't Jesus give the people what they want? Isn't that what most churches would do if put in a similar situation? If people are leaving a church in droves, many churches try to spice up the worship with a guitar and drum set. Some try to make the sermons more interactive with a screen and cool videos. But Jesus, he just lets them leave without a word. Now, I don't know about you, but there is something about this that speaks volumes about love to me. To be given the freedom to walk away, to be given a choice, to be told, you can stay or you can leave. It's up to you. I won't force you either way. That response just seems to display a whole lot of love. The kind of love that really hurts. Jesus was probably very hurt that people chose to leave, and it seems like he failed in some way. Well, when those followers leave, we then get the saddest line in all of Scripture. Jesus looks at the remaining 12 disciples, and he says, "Do you wish to go away too?" Anyone who has ever been abandoned by their friends or their colleagues, anyone who has suddenly found themselves isolated and alone, knows what Jesus might be feeling in the depths of his heart. A sense of grief, and maybe even fear in this very moment. Do you wish to go away too? He asked his friends. Peter then responds with this beautiful line, a line that we sing every Sunday in our liturgy, just before we hear the gospel proclaimed. Peter declares, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Yes, Peter asks, "To whom can we go?" And the 12 disciples stay with Jesus. Now, on the surface, this line from Peter sounds like a confident statement of faith. But there is part of me that hears exhaustion as well. These disciples have left everything behind, their families and jobs and friends. And now that the crowd has left, where else are they to go? Might as well just keep following Jesus. Now, I don't know why you are here today, but I do know this whole faith thing isn't always easy. In fact, I must honestly say that in our present culture, there are times when this life of faith seems increasingly hard. It is a very countercultural way of living. Especially as a Native American Episcopal priest, with stories surfacing about the residential boarding schools with children that they're finding, you know, in the ground. I cried when I heard these stories. My own grandparents were students. And they told us the stories that they went through. You know, and to me, as a child hearing these, I kind of laughed about it in the beginning because you don't realize the impact of what this was. Running away from the schools, hiding, being disciplined for speaking their language, and not teaching their own kids because they were afraid they would get disciplined in school. So in a way, we lost our language. But we're getting it back. That's the part that we're doing, is we're getting things back. In fact, it never really left us. But as they continue to find those graves, it's difficult to have faith in God and to continue to be who I am as a priest. Things have been said to me by my own family, asking, why would you want to become part of the missionaries? But my answer has always been, because we need to have faith, and we need peace, and we need to heal from all of this. And that's probably why God put me on this path, because I didn't know that this was going to be happening in my life. But here I am today in front of all of you, and I feel so blessed to be part of this. I have in the past 5 years as a priest performed 210 burial services. That's an average of 42 per year. And at times it seems so hard, but God is with me. And I can say He is with you also. If you open your mind, your spirit, your heart to Him, be strong in your faith. The question is, where else can we go? Where else can we at least join together in the struggle and contemplate the mystery of this life and the mystery of faith? And that's just it. It is something we do together. Notice that Peter didn't say, Lord, to whom can I go? He said, Lord, to whom can we go? When Peter responds with these words, it is truly a significant point in the Gospel of John. It is the first time that Jesus' closest disciples are named the 12. Their decision not to turn away, but to walk forward with Christ, draws them together as a community of faith. And it is not any particular creed, mission statement, style of worship, or service program that unless them as a body of Christ. It is their professed willingness to walk together following Jesus Christ that renders them a community of faith. You see, this life of faith is not something we do on our own. We do it together. And we go together. Something that we share together as we live together in relationship. And when it is shared, we together make up the body of Christ. You all came together today from all over to make up the body of Christ right here in this church. So in times of uncertainty and challenge, at times when we do not understand, at times when there is a temptation to leave because things seem so hard, we look again to Christ and not ourselves. I decided to follow what God has put in my path. And get the healing started with my people, the way of the church, the Christian life, and the Native American ministries. I share both religions. I bring them into the service. We have a drum in our church, and it bangs and it rocks the church. We have people's cedar inside the church. Burn sage, that kind of stuff. Bless the people that way. We have them speak the language in the church. And so blending these religions together because we're all praying to one God, it helps them to heal also, to take that step into the church and heal. I learned from great teachers in my life, And I know that you have done the same in yours. Like the 12 disciples, we will find there what has always been the good news of Jesus Christ, the Holy One of God. We will find Bavi, Jesus, the bread of life, the one with the words of eternal life. To whom else can we go? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we humbly ask that you stand by us as we make our way to you in every aspect of our lives. We must die to self and live to Christ, because it is at the foot of the cross that we gather. It is the foot of the cross where God is faithful, where Christ is present with us, and where by the power of the Holy Spirit we are one in Christ. In the name of Christ, our Savior, amen.